My name is Jason Denham, and in today's podcast, I have the pleasure of talking with Peter Kaiser. Peter Kaiser is Denham's latest house guest artist number 21. Welcome, Pete Kaiser. Great to have you in our studio and great to connect with you. Big welcome as the Denham house guest artist number 21. First question I've got to ask you, do you prefer Pete Kaiser or Peter Kaiser?
Oh, Peter.
Peter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people call you Pete. Some people call you Peter. Now we know. You are Peter,
Whatever, as long as the last name is good.
Kaiser is the most important,
yes.
Yeah? And do I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, in French, they say Caesar. And I always say no, it's actually Kaiser. And I say, oh, Caesar. I say, yeah, whatever. So it's I think most people in France, they think it's Caesar, but I don't care how they pronounce it as long as they...
Let's go for Peter Kaiser. Yeah. Welcome in our studio. Thank you. A little background. I'm a big fan of your work and I have been for a very long time. We just discussed it a few minutes ago, but we've kind of connected over the years. We did a very nice, cool, little small project with a very cool store called Beretta.
Maybe five
or six or 7 years ago. You had a beautiful pop-up store near our store. So we've always been connected and I think I've always appreciated your work and you've always respected and seen our brand. But I think this is amazing and I'm super proud and I'm honored that we get to do this full-blown house guest artist project together. And this is going to be a big thing. It's going to be cool. It's good. So before we go into the background of the whole collaboration, I'd love to talk a little bit about you and I and who we are and what our connection is. So I kind of like that I'm an Englishman living in Amsterdam. You're a Dutchman living in Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it because I love the cultural, creative experience of being a Brit living in Amsterdam. Tell me a little bit about yourself living in Paris.
Yeah, well, where can I start? let's say it was never really planned out to go there in
same,
a way.
Same for me in Amsterdam.
I just ended up there. I was visiting all the time, made friends. And then at one point I just stayed because I was really... gravitating towards the city. I was really, let's say, mesmerized by Paris and still am, actually. It's been almost a 10-year adventure. Yeah, of course, I see it also as it has benefits in a way to be from abroad. First of all, you look at everything a little bit different because you come from outside, right, to another place. So
yeah,
the people who are already there, they just see what they see, and you see everything as new. So you see the whole situation, and you appreciate, or at least in my case, I appreciate everything. I'm like, wow, and the people, the buildings, the weather, the food, name it, and so I'm super happy and thankful to be a part of that, and I. Yeah, that is really that energy I follow still every day, you know? And
I think that's great. I share exactly the same experience being a foreigner or being someone, being an alien, if you like, in Amsterdam, and you take it on board and you see what it is and you appreciate things differently, yeah?
But as an Amsterdamer, I must also admit that I always saw people come from other cities in Holland. These are often entrepreneurial type people, you know, who do stuff. And then, as a born and raised Amsterdamer, I was also everybody's playing like they're from here. They're not from here. Go away. Go back to where you're from. You know what I mean? And now I'm exactly the same. I'm in Paris, acting like I'm a Parisian or something. So I can also understand that locals in Paris maybe think this guy, you know. But I don't know. So far, so good. And I feel embraced. So I guess it's...
Do you feel like Paris is your home for life? Are you there for a long time or don't you have a game plan on that?
I don't really have a plan. Often people ask, when are you coming back to Amsterdam? And that I don't see happening very soon, but you never know. I really give myself the freedom to do what I want. You know, who knows? Let's say theoretically next year I live in New York. Why not? Yeah. You know, if that's the plan at that point. But or I'm back in Amsterdam, or but I think for the moment I'll just stay in Paris. Really, it's where, I still feel new there, even though it's already been 10 years. So, and Amsterdam still feels also a little bit home, but also I'm not so at home here anymore because I don't really, even know what's the nice restaurant or the nice bar. I have to ask people like where to go, what to do. I don't recognize anybody when I go anywhere. Yeah. Old people say or something. You know?
Your home is definitely Paris right now.
Nowhere, basically, actually, I guess, in a way. But
yeah. You never know in planning in life. When I first moved to Amsterdam, my plan was for 6 months. And 20 plus years later, I'm still here. So you just never know. I think it's about the energy and the people, and they're the kind of things that will make you stay or make you move on. But hey, something else which is a big connection within our work and something I was thinking about with this project that we've made, but we have a big connection, and I think it's maybe a reflection on our personality or maybe a reflection on our lifestyle and who we are. But your work is full of positivity and full of energy and great quotes. And that's very much like my work too. So I love that we use these great lines in the project that we've done together, like aim high and better every day. Mm-hmm. And that's you. That's exactly, you know, we do this with our collabs, and aim high has been a big thing in my brand that we've done for a long time. But you're the same kind of guy and you have the same kind of positivity, which I love. Tell me a little bit about your wording and how you do these kind of things, where that comes from.
So it's maybe a long story, but so me, I come from skateboarding and graffiti. Let's say when I was a kid, that's what I started doing, you know. So around 11 years old, I started doing skateboarding every day. You know, that's basically also how I look at the world. It's like, I think that is my, also part of my DNA is being a skater, let's say.
Yeah.
And some older guys at the Half Pipes in Amsterdam, they were like graffiti guys, like known ones. And also guys used to come there, other known Amsterdam guys, yeah, you name it. Sander, Delta, Pone, all these bigger names, especially in the 90s. And so when I saw these guys make colorful pieces, then I was like, wow, that is so cool. And I wanted to start to write. And then I start to write names and things on the wall a little bit as a kid, really, you know. And from there on, the love for colors and words started. Yeah, it was the beginning. So it was like, first, I just loved how it looked. And then after, I learned how to communicate with it a little bit. That actually took pretty long. Then I was transitioning from, okay, I just want something that looks fresh until I want to tell something or to share an emotion. And that took actually maybe almost 10 years before I start to play with really the sentences and the words.
Yeah, you developed a beautiful style. I mean, I think you've just answered my next question, which was explain your style and how it developed. And I think that's exactly it. You came from the skater background. You came from graffiti art. You know, I think the way that you treat type and color is a beautiful reflection on that. But I think the way you've developed it is great. And what I love with your art is you've developed it into much, much more than graffiti art. I'm a big fan of graffiti art, but your sculptures and your prints are great. And I love that with this collaboration, we've brought your sculptures, your woodies and the prints into the project.
I think that everybody is like a kind of a reflection of their surrounding. So and especially if you do something creative, then it's more obvious, you know, everybody is a reflection of their environment, but when you're creative, you can really see it, you can hear it or whatever kind of craft you do. My universe is a blending of the, let's say, the 90s in Amsterdam as a skater, as a little graffiti punk, let's say, and later, like to art school, where I learned really the lettering and really the rules of typography, calligraphy, and stuff. And then after moving to Paris, where I like mixed it more with fashion and art and poetry, and so all that came kind of together. And that is, still the universe that I'm still evolving and working on. Let's say.
Peter, I'd love to talk a little bit about how this whole project came together. I remember, I think it's like a year and a half ago now even, but I was walking through the Museumplein with my wife and my daughter, and we saw your fabulous sculpture right in the middle of the park. Beautiful thing. And of course, I remembered that we touched on projects in the past. Amazing. And the thing that even drew more attention to you and to that sculpture to me was my young daughter went running towards it, gravitated towards it, jumped on top of it, gave it a big hug, and we took photographs with it, and we were both there together and just loved it. And it reminded me of how fun your work is, but there's a lot of love in it. It's inspirational, it's cool stuff. And I remembered walking away from the park that weekend. I sent pictures of that photo to Ben. Ben's our guy who runs our whole collaboration projects, everything. And the message was, Ben, please go find me Pete Kaiser again. I haven't connected with him for a long time. And that's how we got this whole thing going again. And Ben reached out to you, and you were very kind and came back to us and said, could be fun to work on something together. We had a kind of brainstorm and a discussion, and that kind of went into you sending sketches and getting your big piece of your big table with your big deck of sketches. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the process and creatively how this whole thing came together.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So I always start with by drawing. So when I sketch or when I draw, first of all, I think it's very important, or for me at least, is like, I don't try to make anything good, right? So I just, because first we need space for ideas, and for anything is possible. And as soon as you start to judge, you're going to cut already options out. So, because in the end, then nothing is cool, original, fun, or blah, blah, blah. So you just forget everything, just write down every word that pops in your head. Make the silliest thing or the most beautiful, whatever. Just feel free. That's really important. So I create a space for myself where anything is possible and start to draw, and I forget the whole world around me. And then I draw. And then before you know, I have like 10, 20, maybe sometimes 30 A4 papers with sketches on it. And then suddenly I kind of wake up again and I'm like, oh, and then I zoom out and I'm like, hey, what did I do? Oh, I have my whole table full of papers, and I start to check at it, look at it, and then often I go to see a friend or ask my wife or anybody in my studio, you know, like, what do you think of this or that, and then start to think, oh, this is fun, this is cool, this is no, you already did something like that, or now this, la la la. And then I pick out like, let's say, 5, 6, 7, 8 things. And then I start to refine them. So then I go to redo the same designs,
yeah,
with chalk paper or on a light board or just whatever, or just freehand, doesn't matter. Just say, okay, this is a good idea. How it looks better. Okay, change a bit the composition, change this word to that, or blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then if I have then, let's say, 5, 6 sketches left, I don't know. Now, often I have like 8 or 10, I think. So I don't know how many in the beginning, maybe 40, and then I have 10 in the end or something.
What I love about these house guest collaborations, house guest artist collaborations, is we really respect the artist, and we really do everything to not block any creativity. It's about your style, your handwriting, who you are, what you create. That's why we connect in the first place. You know, we often get together and the brief we try and keep very open, and it's definitely about the sentiment. And I think aim high and better every day, of course, is a big part of what we're all about. And of course, my brand has this small thing, the icon, the scissor,
which
often drops in. Did you find it interesting or tricky or inspiring to work with any of those things, with the scissor or whatever?
For instance, the aim high. So I like this kind of quotes and sentences and words. So the aim high is very, like, say, clear, you know, very forward, like boom, aim high. So that that is like it's very direct and very powerful. So that is fun to play with. At the same time, let the better every day is a bit more poetic, I think, because it comes in, and this kind of things I really like. It's like the layers in something when it says like better every day. So when you read it, you could think like, I have to be better every day, you know, like, or let's say, you know, like when I'm going through, like recently I went through a time not so easy, you know, and then somebody say, how's it going? And I say, better every day, you know,
for
like,
sure.
It's not so good, but
yeah,
every day I'm a bit better than before. So
better every day
for me. So that's more, that's very poetic. I really like that phrase. And so you can look at it in different ways. And also once you start thinking about it, then it can also better your thoughts, you know? Yeah. So that's very exactly the kind of a frequency that I like to work on.
Better every day feels very accurate and very of this time. I think we're all living in a world now where it's kind of about better every day. That's what we're all aiming high, but it's really just step by step. It's better every day. It's that kind of world we live in right now.
Yeah, and also take it by little steps. And it's
One of the other things on this great project that we put together, I really love the photography and the vibe and the energy of your studio. And when the project kind of came together, we brought the products to your studio in Paris. I love the shots of you and your wife wearing the stuff and being a part of it. But you have a beautiful studio. I love that it's creative, but it's also kind of cool and beautifully laid out. Want to tell us something, a little bit about your studio space or environment?
Yeah. So my studio is, let's say, 140 square meters. So it's pretty big. And then I have a high, the ceiling is not straight, but it goes, let's say, higher. And the highest point is maybe 5-6 meters. The lowest point is maybe 3 or something, I don't know. So I have like a lot of light, and this place, like exactly what I was looking for, is just like high ceiling, a lot of walls and a lot of light, and somewhere where I can bike to, let's say. And so it's in a banlieue. It's a little bit like, if you not know this kind of area, you could say like kind of the ghetto of Paris, you know, like it's what it is, you know? So It's definitely interesting, and you always have to a little bit be aware like what's going on. Like I saw the craziest things going for the subway also, like people get handcuffed, or it's not the first time that somebody got stabbed there or whatever, really crazy stuff. Not every day. It's like if you just keep your eyes open and you are not too you're a bit like a little bit street smart then it's fine, you know, but just be careful. Don't be stupid, let's say. And so the building used to be from Franprix, you know, like a stockage. So they used to have like all their stock for the supermarkets in Paris. They bring from there.
Yeah.
Or this is one of the stockage places, you know, warehouse, let's say. They would have probably so many of them. And then after it got, but they moved it more far out the city. And then after it became like an evangelist church, this building. Yeah. So some like pimp pastor guy from the USA or something, he painted everything in red and put like Jesus loves you everywhere on the wall and stuff, and he made like a church there. So it was really, you know, evangelist churches, and it's like in the neighborhood, like you should have seen it. Like it's really super interesting something, you know, like. And it's it's pretty a dedicated place, you know. Evangelist people are not like they don't come once a year. It's really like somewhere it's really a strong community. And with some strange story, this guy disappeared, I think, back to LA or where he was from, and with some debt and everything. Yeah. So it's a bit weird story. So it's also a bit sad for the people who were members of the church, of course. But so, and exactly where my, it's exactly where my place is where the altar was. You know, that's where my desk is, where I draw. So it's where the preacher used to preach. And now I'm there preaching my stuff, let's say.
It's a cool story for your studio.
Yeah. And so my, how do you say, my little cousin or nephew, I never know the word, he's also an artist, Dano Segers, and he slept there. He did an internship at my studio. He slept there and he said he saw ghosts also. And after he didn't even know that that was also a church, you know. Wow. No, the next day he was like, yeah, I think I saw something and blah, blah. Wow. And then it's like, oh, Dan, did you know it was actually also a church? And he was really like, his face was white when I said that. He was like, no way, whoa. But yeah, funny. So there's really an energy, this place. And I don't know, but it's and now there's more artists also in the building, like some Parisian artists, really cool work they do also. And I really like it. And downstairs there's like furniture makers and all kind of different people. So it's really
cool, creative.
Yeah, really a good place. Yeah.
Tonight we will launch the collaboration and we'll do a takeover of Libertine Cafe here in Amsterdam. Beautiful little cafe. I don't know if you've been there before. Maybe you know it, but fabulous place. Beautiful environment. Kind of has a Parisian feel to it. They have that kind of thing going on. And we're going to take over this cafe. We're going to rename it the Denim Kaiser Cafe for the weekend. We're going to do a beautiful exhibition of your work and this collaboration. We're going to show the collection that we've made. And we're going to bring together tonight a lot of like-minded souls to come and see and share what we've been working on, which I think is great. I'm super excited that we can have you there as well for the event. So big thank you for that, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
I think it's going to be really cool. And I think it's really interesting that we bring together art and fashion. So from my own experience of building something in fashion, you know, to become a fashion designer and to create a brand is bloody difficult. And I think it's exactly the same for an artist. And I think for you, what you've created with your art, and it's kind of like a brand as well, I can imagine it's been an incredible journey. You've been 10 years in Paris. And I just wondered if you could tell me a little bit about, what's your secret? You know, how did you create what you've created? You told us a little bit about your skating background, but becoming an artist, like me becoming a designer, what's your secret? How did you do it?
I don't know. I'm also like, basically, I feel like I'm also trying to figure out everything, and I'm also on my road trying to improve and better and learn and grow in what I do. So, yeah, but for the things that went well, let's say, I can say that it's maybe, yeah, first of all, a lot of dedication and hard work. So it's like, yeah, really, and the beginning is the hardest part. So first, I was just messing around, not knowing, you're just a kid, right? You're skating, you're doing graffiti, you do all kind of stuff. Yeah. I had a little graphic job here and there. And then after you look at yourself at a little, and then you start to think, what am I doing and where I want to go? And that is when you start to become maybe a designer or an artist, because then you get conscious about it, and then, yeah, you start to, but also not being conscious is also a benefit, because it's not necessarily super interesting if you have everything mapped out and planned out. It's, yeah, more interesting when you just do what feels good or what you like. But sometimes it can also, you make also tons of mistakes, because I also did like a lot of stuff just because I had fun with it, and people maybe judge it for this or that or that. But,
we learn from the mistakes.
Yeah, but also it's not necessarily, you know, it's always to impress everybody or something, yeah, just having fun. So if some people say, oh yeah, but this and blah, 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 or that's all, yes, maybe, but what do, yeah, you do? You know, I don't know, like.
I've always said in design and in brand building, it has to come from the heart, and you have to have a deep passion for what you're doing. Like you said earlier, you've got to really, really work hard at it as well. But I, yeah, think that's where it comes from, huh?
And I think the most important thing is like curiosity, you know? So you have to be curious. You have, yeah, to, oh, of course, you have to enjoy what you're doing, so that it's not like feeling like, oh, I have to draw for 10,000 hours. No, you just draw anyway. And then before you know, 10,000 hours are done. And then suddenly you have 1,000 designs or something. And
yeah.
So just have fun with it, I would say. If I have to give some advice, I would just say, enjoy your time, have fun with it. You know, if you like something, follow it and have fun with it. And
I believe and that
see
also.
Where it leads you, you know. And I think also you have to, the best formula for me is like not necessarily what I want, but I think it's like, it's also you need enough, let's say, success or positivity, positive feedback to continue. But you need also, in a way, a little too less that you're always hungry, you know?
So, yeah, yeah.
Because like, there's always enough to keep me going, but there's also always so many challenges out there that I want to continue. You know, it's like if everything went super like only like wow, then you're also thinking like, okay, well, then you just go drink champagne and party all the time, I guess, or something until all the money's gone. And then you start to think, but I don't have time for that because I'm already on my next chapter or trying to figure out what is the next stage or the next level or.
So that's a great point that you make. So before you run off in the sunset and drink champagne.
I do that also sometimes.
That's good. You need to do that too. But is there a kind of a North Star? Is there a dream project on your mind? Is there something on the horizon that you would love to do?
Yeah. So that question often people ask. And I think what I learned throughout the years is that first, I really made a list and I was like, oh, I want to make a bottle for Coca-Cola. I want to do this and I want to do that. And I want to work with this shoe brand or that. And I want to, I don't know, be in a gallery or I want to work with a museum or this or that. And then after you do a few stuff off your list, let's say, then you also realize that it's not all about that at all, in a way. It's just something that... Right, it's like saying like, okay, we're going to Rome, okay, or whatever city, to Bali or something, and to whatever country, and then you go there. But of course, you know, there's like, oh yeah, why you want to go to this country? Because of the food, because of the weather. But then you will see what it's really gonna bring you, right? So
yeah,
and maybe you never end up there. So you end in the end, you're in Barcelona or something, and then you're like, oh, actually, this is way cooler than I ever thought my Rome trip that never happened would be, and so. What I try to do is like I analyzed it a bit for myself. It's like you have to look at what is the essence of what you are doing, right? So what is it about? So of course you need some things that excites you, and sometimes that is, I don't know, something, a kind of something that more socially people look at like wow or something, right? So it's a brand or it's a certain reference in art or in design or something. But basically, that's only references for other people to what they think about you. But it's not necessarily what makes you better, right? So what I try to do is like, with my work, I try to make a certain energy and try to spread a certain message or a certain vibe. And as long as I can do that, and these little waves will go somewhere, and I will continue to be inspired by others and I can give a little bit back then if that keeps moving and that keeps growing, that is actually what all that matters. So that is basically the value of it.
That's great. That's a great, great learning and a great message on your journey so far. Peter Kaiser, what does a normal Peter Kaiser work day look like? What does your day look like? Start to finish. Keep it as long or short as you like, but how does your day look?
Yeah, so I wake up, I eat my breakfast. And
are you an early bird? Do you wake up early in the morning? Yeah,
no, 8 o'clock, let's say I wake up. Let's say I go, boom, eat breakfast with my wife. And then I take the bike or the subway to go to my atelier. And it's a little bit outside of Paris. It's like 35 minute ride with subway or bike. Then I go to my atelier. So my wife and me, we work together. So she goes on her own. So maybe she already left or she comes later or we go at the same time. Could be, I don't know. Depends on the day.
So she works in the studio with
you? Yeah, she's always working with me. Yeah, then I go to the atelier. I don't know, do boring stuff like everybody, drink coffee, check my emails. And then the best day is actually I don't open my laptop. That's like... And I drink my coffee and I start to draw or I start to paint. And I don't answer any phone calls. I don't answer any emails, nothing. And I just paint, draw. And then I have like a big table like we're sitting on here. And it's totally full of A4s. You know, when you buy a pack of A4s?
Yeah.
Like if I really sketch, I can do a whole pack in a week, you know, of printing paper. And I'm not saying that's all good stuff. Like most of it goes in the trash, but it's just, that's what I have fun with. Just make doodles and write stuff and things. And so that's the best day. Or just paint all day long. Just focus on colors and lines. Because then I really get in the zone, you know, in the creative zone that I'm just kind of in an almost meditative state. And I'm just like somewhere else, like on my cloud.
You're in your happy place.
Yeah. Really, that is basically, I think, one of the most important reasons why I work. And so, but a lot of days it's like, Skype call, so, you know, my wife, she's more organized than me. So she will be like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. Don't forget this, don't forget that. I'm like, oh, all right. And so a lot of practical stuff. And sometimes you get so busy with doing what you do that you don't even have time to do what you do. You know what I mean? Like I'm only like bringing something, picking up something, calling this, that. I'm just like, this all goes about like designs or art or something. And I'm not even have time for it anymore because I'm talking too much about it. Or
it sounds like it's good. Your wife is there to hold it all together.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a similar thing with my life too.
Okay, great.
Okay, and then this question, you've probably been asked it 100 times before, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Let's say in your next life, you're not an artist. If you're not an artist in your next life, what could you imagine yourself being?
So I like to cook. So I would, but I don't like to work as a cook. I also did that quite a lot, but it's too tough for me. It's really, really.
You worked in a kitchen, yeah?
Yeah.
How was it? Where did you work?
A few places. Like I did like catering jobs. I worked also at Brasserie Joffers in Amsterdam South. Yeah. But that was, and I worked at a restaurant, a fusion restaurant. It's called Zest, but it doesn't exist since 15 years, I think.
Was it creative or was it too intense?
No, that, and I worked at some other place, but it's the making menus and making dishes or learning even, really that almost never, but learning from other people, that is cool, and learning new ways of making dishes and food. But then let's say the executing part, making the plates, that's also nice the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because then you do it a bit better. And then after it's like you have to finish the 3 month season to the next menu.
Yeah.
And then it's like super hot. It's really hard work, you know, I think. Yeah. So I like more the creative part than the real working part. Yeah, and then, respect for all the cooks out there, definitely. But so that if I had more power, I would do like, would be a cook, let's say. Or otherwise, I would also, what I like is also being entrepreneurial. So if I was not an artist, I would make a bike brand or something. Or I would make, I would make some brand or something, I think, with anything else, you know, so
something creative.
I could make tables or something or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be a little bit. It has to be a little bit creative that you create a product and then I like to think what to do with it. But the entrepreneurial part I like. So
Sounds good. Hey, so just to wrap it up, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure spending some time to sit here and talk with you. Big success for all the future projects that are coming up. And who knows? Maybe we'll do this again sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Thank you. Thanks for having me.